Good morning. The dreaded moment has come. I looked over the crowd a little bit here, and I noticed people from all over the place here. There's a couple here we met in Bibleville, South Texas, Abe Neufels. Albert Weaves were in Bibleville, South Texas. There's a girl back there. She's born August the 15th, 1959. She's out of Mexico. When I say go plotish con, I say con, I've already got a plotish off home. She, I think, almost lost her English there. Hope it comes back, that you can understand us here this morning. My youngest sister, actually. On May the 31st, I could not seed because the fields were too soft to carry the seeding equipment. So I thought I would write down a few notes about the lighthouse, which I had been thinking about for some time. At the Heppner Sibling Camp at Austin, I thought I would read some of these thoughts if there was no one else who had prepared something for that Sunday morning. I was given the opportunity to present these thoughts, and someone there must have been blessed by the Spirit and thought I should present these thoughts here. Louise Peter said I had seated that day anyway, even if I had not been on the tractor. On Sunday, August the 7th, when Ken Letkin mentioned my name, and refer to the Heber campout, behind him on the screen there were the words of a song which said, "Where the Spirit of God is, there is light, there is power, there is love." And it mentioned others. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is here with us this morning. What I have to say is not important, but may the Spirit speak to each of us here. About 45 years ago, there was a pastor in Winnipeg who had a radio call show called Ask the Pastor. We used to listen to this on Sunday nights. This was H.H.W. Egler. We have a bit of a family history connection to him here in that he married my mother's youngest brother, my Uncle John Cron, who married Eileen Weba Morden, who was a friend of Justina Heppner. This pastor always opened with Psalm 19, verse 14, which I want to apply to me this morning. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." We will consider the lighthouse. So here is a miniature statue of a lighthouse. I want to thank the person who put this lighthouse in our flower border. We come home one day and hear this lighthouse was there. And I did not know till this morning who that was, so I would just like to say thanks for that. Lighthouses are associated with sailors, so therefore I will put up my... Therefore, I will put on my sailor's hat. This hat has a little story with it. I bought it on a ferry which we took from Nova Scotia to Newfoundland. This was a six-hour trip. At the counter, I told the clerk I would wear this hat right away. And as I walked out of the store, I felt someone might be watching me. I looked around and saw up ahead there was a man with the same hat and a white uniform. He looked right at me. Our eyes met, and then I looked away to see where I was going. When I got close to him, he was still watching me, so I nodded to him there. He acknowledged me with a nod. I noticed his white mustache and white sideburns. I continued forward about 15 feet and thought I would look back to see what he was doing. There he was, still looking at me. I wonder what it was. Did he see himself and me, or do I just look that good with this hat? I will wear it a little while longer, just to keep the glare of the light off a little bit. But for those of you who are concerned, I will take it off. During our trip to Eastern Canada, I got impressed with lighthouses that we saw, and there were many in many different places. Isaac and Carol and Abe and Pearl, I'm sure Abe Neufels here, will also remember the lighthouse at St. Isabel. That's a little town just before you cross the bridge into South Padre Island in South Texas. These lighthouses all looked the same and were built to perform the same duty, which was to warn ocean-traveling vessels of danger as they neared land. I am sure that many a life has been saved by these lighthouses. I've seen many of these miniature lighthouses there, and I've seen them in the Lisa's store, and very often they have Psalm 27, verse 1 on there. And Daniel read the verse to you. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" When you look at the lighthouse, what do you see? Take a good look at it. Do you only notice a tall structure built of stone? I notice the height of this lighthouse, and I know why it is so high. Right at the top is a light. This is probably the most important object on the whole structure. This is where the warning beam of light comes from, to warn ocean vessels of impending danger. It is of utmost importance to make sure that this light is on every night. This important light causes me to ponder. And this is what I was a little surprised that he said a message by Norman. These are Norman's ponderings. So pondering means to carefully consider. It is not logical thinking, but is deep, careful thinking, where you consider every word. When I ponder and carefully consider every word, the connections I sometimes make don't make sense. So today you will hear of my ponderings. You might find some thoughts boring, and some you might find interesting. I will give you an example of my pondering. When I walk in a park and I see a sign 30 feet up in the grass, and it says, "Keep off the grass," I ponder, and I wonder, how did the sign get there? I ponder and ponder, and come to the conclusion that they must have hired Peter Heppner with a Zoom boom to to push him up above the grass so he can plant a sign. This light also makes me think about a very important light in my life. This light was when Jesus came into my life, and I'm glad I found him so many years ago. Light, according to the dictionary, means illumination. And just last August, Chuck Swindoll said that illumination was, and he says, a clear understanding of the revealed Word of God. Illumination is a clear understanding of the revealed Word of God. This is what we need in our Christian life. The dictionary also says that a lighthouse is called light. I heard a new song at the Corn and Apple Festival by the group called Still Standing. They sang the song, "Let the Light of the Lighthouse Shine on Me." They could not record this on tape because of copyright issues, but that was a nice song. The English language is complicated, as many as you know, and light also means it's easy to carry, not heavy. Farmers also call porous soil light soil and clay soil heavy. We were told at our soils class at the university that if you weighed an equal volume of sandy soil and clay soil, that the sandy soil is heavier. What does this have to do with the lighthouse? Well, nothing. But I just got the attention of the farmers here. And they're pretty tired. It's this time of year, you have to try and keep them awake. Light could also mean come down to earth. Like, for example, he lighted from his horse. This light also reminds me of a great light that did come down to earth one day. This important light in my life did come down to earth. I get soft when I think about this. I cannot express it better than what Carl Boberg wrote in the third verse in How Great Thou Art. It says, "And when I think that God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die," I scarce can take it in. "And on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin." I don't sing very well, so I carefully consider all the words. Let us look at John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. This is a chapter I memorized back in 1957 when I had to memorize 100 verses in order to go to the CSM camp at Gimli. My memory is not that good anymore, so I will read it to you. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was" what? "The light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." It saddens me to read the next two verses, but you cannot add or take away from the inspired word, according to Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Verse 11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." But we should all underline verse 12, which says, "But as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Consider Psalm 36, verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. Psalm 119, verse 105. We all know this verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You can see that with a lamp at your feet, you will not stumble on your path to life. What a promise. Proverbs 4, verse 18 and 19, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. By contrast, verse 19 says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. We read in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 18, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the city, in Revelation 21, verse 23, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So you can see that all through the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the light. And if you look further down this structure here, salvation and strength are in this part of the structure. We'll spend a little time on the salvation because this is a very important thing. Salvation is defined as being saved or as saving or being saved. Christians believe that Christ is the salvation of the world. He gives us deliverance from sin and from punishment of sin. Psalm 3 verse 8 says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Isaiah 12 verse 2. You will find this verse on John Drieger's funeral card. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Did you get that? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. We should be exceedingly glad that the Jews gave us the one God gospel and not just kept it for themselves. We are born to worship. If we don't worship the one God, we will be like the heathens who worship many gods, but worship we will. This light reminds me of one God. I've never seen more than one lighthouse at one spot. I've got a picture of Neal's Harbor in Nova Scotia. You can see in this picture there's only one lighthouse. Lydia, you remember this house here where we bought that miniature lobster cave? So we drove right into Neal's Harbor. Jews believed in a one-God religion compared to the pagans who had many gods. We learned that in Greece they had 350 gods to try and please. They also put up an altar to the unknown God, just in case they missed one God and they did not want to upset him. Paul taught them this at Mars Hill. As you find in Acts 17, verse 22, he says, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. In Egypt, we learned they believed that various deities, gods and goddesses, influence every aspect of nature and human activity. Therefore, they worship many deities. Their most important god was Amun-Ra, Amon-Ra. He was a sun god. They prayed to him for good harvest. Then there was Isis, Isis. She was the most important goddess. She represented a devoted woman and wife. And Isis had a very important son, Horus, Horus, who was the god of the sky. Horus was always pictured having the head of a falcon, like of a bird, the falcon. Most of these gods had animal parts. This helped to identify them. These gods are pictured on the massive temples they built in the years past to honor these gods. Joseph would have seen these gods. These deities were already known about 3100 B.C. Joseph died in Egypt at 110 years old in 1804 B.C. In Egypt, they still worship these gods to this day. We saw a temple built in honor of Amun-Ra at Karnak, which was the largest temple in that country. It had more than 130 columns that rose 80 feet in the air. These columns were brilliantly painted, as were the walls and the ceilings. This still ranks as the largest column hall ever built. And these paintings were perfect. We never saw a picture of a man or a beast that was out of proportion, no matter what size. It is here that priests come every day to wash and bring food to a stone statue that sits on a stone table. He looked to be about 4 feet tall sitting there. This god gets bored, so they take him to visit a goddess who lives in another temple about a mile and a half away. On a street lined with miniature sphinx. This god likes a boat ride, so the priests have to carry him on their shoulders to the Nile River, where he takes a boat to the temple of the goddess. And his visits last 6 weeks. The priests are lazy, so at the end of his visit, they sneak him back on their shoulders and don't give him the boat ride. The next visit, the goddess comes over. She is happy just to be carried over. She stays 3 weeks. And this ritual is repeated several times a year, like to this day. So my question to you is, who would you rather worship? My God, the creator of the world and who is alive, or pictures of Ra and Isis and her son Horus, who is actually a bird brain? Paul called this gospel to the Gentiles a mystery. A mystery is an unrevealed truth. And he revealed it to us in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, how that by revelation be made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Ephesians were written about AD 60, so the 4,000 years before that, they did not know that this gospel was also for the Gentiles. Titus 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Consider 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. The last part of this verse says, behold, now is the day of salvation. We can have this salvation today if we want it. It is available. The choice is yours. Makes absolutely sure that you have this salvation. It is a gift from God. As a matter of fact, it is the greatest gift. This reminds me of a testimony that Doug Penner told at Lorette Weeb's funeral. Doug told of him visiting his sister every day at Boundary Trails. His sister had terminal cancer. It happened that Lorette, who also had terminal cancer, was in the next room, and Doug would also visit her. After a number of visits, Lorette told Doug that she could have died the night before because she had been in severe distress after pulling out some of her life support equipment in her sleep. This prompted Doug to ask, if you had died today, Lorette, where would you be today? She did not answer. And Doug briefly said, Lorette, today is the day of salvation. She turned away from him and looked at her TV. Doug stood there in silence. With that, she reached up and turned off the TV, looked up at Doug and said, let's do it. Doug led her to the Lord that day. Lorette went into a coma next day and passed away the day after that on June 8th, 2008. Doug's sister passed away an hour before Lorette's funeral. I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation. Just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to judgment on me to touch all the men in his feet and his hands. One morning at daybreak, a crowd slowly gathered. Walking my Lord freedom singers. They got a story themselves to tell about the miracles in their life. The Lord is my strength, as the verse goes on. Look at the below the lighthouse. Notice the tremendous strength of this structure. These structures are built to withstand any storm that they may have to endure. We have heard of the tremendous power these storms have when they come off water onto land. Some of these lighthouses have stood tall and strong for hundreds of years. What good would it be if they topple over? Does this not make you think of stability and faithfulness, another characteristic of Jesus? A songwriter expresses it perfectly by saying, "Great is thy faithfulness, thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not." Strength is also defined as power to resist or endure, also for support and security. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Exodus 15 verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." We also have Proverbs 18 verse 10. Our Sunday school children will know this verse. These words are put into the song that our Sunday school teacher, our Sunday school children sing, accompanied with actions. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe." Look at the door of this miniature lighthouse. Real lighthouses have them too. This reminds me of a story I once read. There was a marauding army coming to this village on horseback, and the people in the village knew they had no chance of defending themselves, so they decided to run into the lighthouse and securely lock the door. This army on horseback liked to rope people and drag them through the streets. This marauding army found no one home that day and continued on their way. That day, the lighthouse saved the whole village. Does this not remind you of the song, "A Shelter in a Time of Storm"? Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Can we also not say that he will hold us with his powerful right hand? Then when we go further down the structure, you see these structures are built on rock. So they have a very, very solid base. The Lord is my rock. Usually these lighthouses are built on a massive rock. This reminds me of the lighthouse at Peggy's Cove in Nova Scotia. We must have walked a good half mile on this rock to get to the lighthouse. This was a massive rock. No one but Jesus could move this rock. This reminded me of how solid Jesus is. Rock is also defined as a large mass of stone for support, defense, and refuge. When I think of refuge, I think of Petra, a city in Jordan, a city built into a rock. It is here that it is believed that people will run to during the tribulation. I have not seen Petra, but hope to soon someday. We will consider the solid rock. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4 says, "He is a rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Psalm 27 verse 5, "For in a time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." That sounds like a lighthouse to me. Psalm 89 verse 26, "He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." Jake Thiessen has a big rock, at least as big as a full-grown man, beside his farm driveway, just west of Morden. On it he has engraved, "God is my rock and my salvation." This is a nice reminder as to who Jesus is. Let's look at the familiar story in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof." Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter was headstrong and quick to speak, and this got him into a lot of trouble. But Peter had it right. In Matthew 16, verse 16, it says, "Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." King David in Psalm 61, verses 2 and 3 says, From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from my enemy. Again, this sounds like a lighthouse to me. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Does pondering about the rock not bring to mind a song written by Fanny Crosby, "He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock"? This hymn explained Fanny Crosby's life, for Fanny faced three incredible hardships during her 95 years. The first was her blindness, caused by a careless doctor when she was only 6 weeks of age. The second was a less than ideal marriage. Fanny was teaching at the New York Institution for the Blind when a young musician named Alexander Van Alstyne joined her faculty. He liked her poems and she liked his music. Love met love and their worlds changed. They married on March the 5th, 1858. We were no longer blind, for the light of love showed us where the lilies bloomed. No one knows what happened. They drifted apart and lived at separate addresses. The third hardship was the loss of her child. To this day, no one knows if it was a boy or a girl. The child's death seemed to have devastated her, and she privately bore the sadness all of her life. Yet all who knew Fanny Crosby spoke of her energy, her zest for life, her joy. One biographer said, even in extreme old age, she would tire out people 20 to 30 years her junior. Fanny Crosby lived out her song every day of her life. He hideth my soul in the depth of his love and covers me there with his hand. Does this rock not remind you of another song? In times like these, you need a savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. The anchor holds and grips a solid rock. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. These songwriters knew how to express their feelings in words. How do you see the lighthouse now? Take another look at it. Do you see it as before, or do you see it differently now? Do you see characteristics of Jesus? Consider again Psalm 27, verse 1, which we started out with. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Like the Lord is so strong that in his hand he's got the whole world. He's got the whole world in his hand. Of whom should we be afraid? He is the rock that shall not be moved. If we grip this rock, we will not drown in the sea of sin. I looked over the audience today and I noticed a singing group here. They're somewhat professional. I have not contacted them, so I will call them up now to sing a song for you. Would the Heppner group come up? They got me into trouble here, and I can't let them off scot-free. Would the Heppner siblings who camped at Austin come up here and sing a song for us? Lydia, all your brothers and sisters and their spouses, just form a circle beside me. I got a copy of a song here that you will sing. So you will know what to sing. We have Shirley at the piano, so you'll feel right at home here. Just pass that around. Somebody in this group got me up here, so this is payoff time. So you can now understand what a lighthouse means to me. It reminds me that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is our strength and salvation. He is our refuge. We can hide in him. Jesus is a solid rock who is faithful. And Jesus is the only one we need. I don't consider the lighthouse as an idol. It is just a pile of rock. It just reminds me of who Jesus is. I want to leave one question with you to consider very seriously. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? We'll have this group sing the song, and then we'll turn the meeting back to the chairman.